All right, welcome to episode number 101 of Hypeable's Glee Chat. We celebrated our 100th episode last week, and by celebrated, we just kind of reminisced on basically everything about the show that we could think of. There was really no direction, frankly.
Sounds like a university course, like Glee Chat 101.
Yes, Glee Chat 101. Glee Chat the University, basics. Right, is happening right now. Mm. We're going to teach you how to hate watch a television show.
Well, aww. I am a college professor
in my day job,
so there you go.
That's true. That's true. Caitlin's always
great. And I'm a student.
So that's good. I want you to teach a college course on Glee and all its problems once it's finished, Caitlin. Like to write a course, but yeah.
That's a good idea. The complexities of Glee, I like that.
Well, we can just pretend we're doing like Glee Chat 101, how not to become engaged.
Yeah.
Oh that's my a good god. Point.
We'll get into more of that soon. How is everyone? I'm currently snowed in because we're getting about, I don't know, it's been snowing all day. There's like 4 inches of snow in New York City right now, but it's just the never-ending weather problems that I constantly complain about on Glee Chat. I don't really have anywhere else to talk about them, so I hope everyone is okay with the fact that I'm always complaining about
well, stuff. If you still have power, I don't want to hear
it. Oh my god, that's true. Caitlin, I completely forgot. You were out. What happened with that?
So, we had a winter storm come through Monday. So, we in the South get ice storms. So,
oh, right.
Everything.
What the hell is an ice storm? Like, so what happens?
The weather stays like, it hovers over freezing for like the entire day. So, when it rains, the water freezes on whatever it lands on.
Yeah.
So trees get iced over. So what happened is they were getting really heavy. So trees fell over and they fell on power lines. They fell on roads. They fell on houses. So our power went out Monday night and didn't come back until Thursday afternoon.
Oh my God. What did you do?
Jesus.
We stayed in and a couple of nights it got into like the single digits for lows. So stayed the first night because we didn't know when the power was coming back. And then we checked into a motel.
Wow, that's crazy.
But it was really hard to get a motel room because nobody in the town had power. So everybody was staying in a motel. So we were lucky to get a motel room.
How far did you have to go?
I take everything back, by the way, because you had a much worse week than I did.
Seriously. I feel like you were like Sam living in a hotel room.
Caitlin.
Georgia.
I thought it was Georgia. Wow, that's intense. Well, don't you get really hot summers, like really bad summers as well?
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
we tend to like have fairly mild winters, but we usually have like one winter storm a year.
Yeah.
So ice storms are like a thing that they don't really have, I don't think, in other parts of the country because my parents are from the north. I lived in the north and they had nothing resembling ice storms. It was just snow. So ice storms are like... Well, uniquely that, southern.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we've had ice storms in Maryland before, but also the thing about Georgia is you guys probably aren't as prepared for those types of things.
And last year we had this huge issue with a storm came in and people were stranded on the freeway for 12 hours.
Oh, I remember that.
There was a whole lot of like over preparedness for this one, but it's not worth investing in a million salt trucks and everything when we get one storm a year. It's just not worth the money.
Yeah.
Is it one of those things where people go on the radio and say, do not abandon your car because you will die if you go out in the storm?
I've never heard that, but that sounds accurate.
I know that was happening in like Chicago when they had those really like snowpocalypse or whatever. Like people were dying because they would get trapped in the car on the freeway and then they would leave and try and walk to somewhere else and then they would die. We only get trapped on the freeway when it's like from a fire, like from a bushfire, leapt the road. Yeah.
That's been me. Like in the past two or three weeks, like, I've had a bush, like, a huge, like, 300k bushfire, like, either side of me. Yeah, it's,
I didn't know Perth had bushfires at the moment. I mean, I haven't looked at the news.
It's been terrible. It's been so bad.
Sorry.
Like, Jack, now that you've kind of, like, introduced it, we should mention also that you have, like, the most kick-ass microphone right now. You sound so different.
I sound more sultry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna mention that.
Not good.
I'm all about that bass, Jack.
That bass idea.
Oh, God.
It's an all new Jack on this episode for sure. By the way, Caitlin, let's just figure out exactly what we're dealing with here. So, 1 second. What is the current temperature in Perth, Australia?
It's 75 degrees Fahrenheit right now in Perth, Australia.
Yeah, so kiss my ass, Jack.
Well, it's okay now. The past few weeks has been terrible with bushfires.
It's also, it doesn't matter about the temperature.
No,
do you
know,
want like to be like surrounded by a flaming inferno in your car?
No,
like,
a whole town had to be evacuated and just like wait on the beach, like just for people to come get them, you know? It's been terrible. And like one of my colleagues' partner, like, it was the bushfire was like 6 meters away from his house, and like you could literally see the difference between green and black. It was amazing, but not in a good way. It was like just incredible to see it. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's dramatic on every person's microphone on Glee Chat this week in some way or another. Hopefully we'll get through it together.
I don't know, like, I'm good over here. Like, this is like the first snowfall I've had, like,
yeah, Mitch,
all winter.
Where are you nowadays, actually?
Where is Carmen Sandiego? Well, Carmen Sandiego is currently living in Denver, and
that's right, I knew that, that's what I thought.
And it's I mean, I actually like it better than SoCal, because, like, cost of living there was ridiculous. I mean, like, me and Roxanne got to hang out, but, like, it was one of the few perks, because other than that, like, well, Disneyland wasn't even as cool as you would think it would be, like, you know, the 50th time. It kind of loses its charm.
Yeah, I don't get people that go there 10,000 times a year, but...
Like, isn't it when you're a member, people just go there for dinner, or they go there to go on one ride, like, because they have the unlimited ticket and
what
stuff?
Roxanne used to tell me, she would be like, yeah, I'm, like, going to meet up with all my Disney friends tonight at Starbucks. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, the Starbucks in the... And yeah, I'm like, I heard you, but what?
It's so bizarre. Yeah, I wasn't sure if maybe you were back in New York, Mitch, because I thought you had... Before we started the show tonight, you had mentioned snow, and we're getting a ton of snow here, so I was wondering where you were.
No, that was just coincidental. Yeah, I was coming back from that special interstellar thing, and then I anticipated, like, it's supposed to be a half an hour drive, and I gave myself an hour, and I just got home. Like, when we said we were going to record, because the snow, it was like a foot. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, down in Atlanta, you guys might be freaking out a little bit about this much, but I suppose in, like, a mountain town, we're just like, whatever. I mean, I appreciate the ice storms, though, Caitlin, because I do, John, I remember some in New York.
My God, they're terrible. This winter has been, you know, I tweeted this too. Again, I'll complain a little
bit. I love
bit
that tweet.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, I tweeted last year that I would never, I'm not doing another winter in New York City. Last winter was really, really terrible. Then, on Friday, it was the coldest day in New York City since 2004. And it's just like, why am I doing this to my body and to my health? Like, why is this?
You know how many people I've talked to that have just, like, never lived on the East Coast? And then I reference New York and their winters, and they're like, why would anyone choose to live there? And I'm like, good question.
Well, you know, New York City, I have to say, and this can tie into Glee a little bit here because we've seen them in New York City, but, you know, New York City in the spring, summer, and fall, unbelievable. It's like the city comes to life in the summer, and it kind of, there's all kinds of beautiful things and beautiful fun things to do in the fall, but then, like, right about Thanksgiving, everyone's just sort of, like, pissed off that they live here again.
But it's annoying, though, because if you watch a show like Glee or Gossip Girl or something that takes place in New York City, they never have these snowstorms, and if they do, they're cute,
not. They're
romantic, they
they're
take, like, a freaking
wearing,
carriage
like,
ride.
Miniskirts and
Glee did, like, though, season four, they remember they all got trapped in their apartment and they had watched what's it called?
Oh, that's true.
Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. Yes. Yeah.
That's
come what may.
That's right.
I should not know this kind of stuff.
Fair enough. That's very good, Jack, that you could come up with that.
I was really shocked when I visited New York in January, like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never been in any. I've seen snow, but I'd never been in anywhere that was like living in snow, if you know what I mean. That was like, oh, I've woken up and the city has been snowed on heavily, and you know, and you have to walk through it and stuff. Like, I've been to places where it's like a ski village where there's meant to be snow, if you know what I mean. Like, I haven't been in like, and in England when I lived there, it's very light, like a dusting will happen and it's like, oh, it's pretty. And they get a big storm every now and then, but I'd never seen that kind of like, oh, you have to live with this every day.
Really, it's, I wonder, like, if it's climate change, yeah. Because, you know, like, I don't remember, you know, I've come to New York for 10 or so more years, off and on. I've had family and friends that live up here. I didn't start fully living here until about 2.5 years ago, but I was visiting enough to feel like I was part of the city. I don't remember it ever being so cold and so ridiculous. And, like, I don't, this is just from New York. I don't know if you guys have heard what's going on in Boston, where they're literally buried above their heads in snow. I'm talking 6 feet or more of snow. Yeah. It's insane if you look up the picture. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't help but wonder if it's climate change, but that's for another podcast.
Well, what I think we can give everyone like a good image of, if they've never been to like a really snowy place, it's pretty much like all the East Coast is turning into the day after tomorrow right now.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, actually what Caitlin was talking about is, there's this weird, the reason why Caitlin is sort of dealing with this is there's been a weird plunge of Arctic air from the north, and it literally is going right down the Midwest, or not the Midwest, but like the East Coast, right into Georgia. So, like, Caitlin, you've probably, this is like the coldest you've ever been in Georgia, probably, right?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Okay, then we'll move on.
Take that.
It's just funny. I don't even know why people call it Hotlanta anymore, because I don't even think that's appropriate. I think that there's...
When the summer rolls around, it'll be 95 with 95% humidity, and that will be Hotlanta.
I had,
it's,
you know,
not
I had
as
been...
bad as Florida, but it's like the worst place I've been after Florida.
We've talked enough about the weather. Let's move on to actual Glee stuff. Okay. Yeah. 20 minutes of weather talk is enough for sure. All right, well, let's rehash episode 608 of Glee. There are only 4 episodes left. And this week's episode was really bizarre. And we'll get into what happened with it. We'll get into some of some interesting news, including some announcements with Darren Criss, as well as the awkwardness that's happening with the episode order. And Caitlin will give us all the details about that later on in the episode.
There was an announcement with Darren Criss? I must have missed it. No, I'm joking.
I was like, how did you miss that?
Oh, God,
and then,
no.
And my dream coming true of every single cast member. Oh, oof, oof.
And then later on in the episode, we'll get to some listener feedback, which it looks like there was quite a lot this week. Okay, so we start the episode with Brittany, Santana, their moms, and Artie going to the barn where Brittany was born. Brittany's mom tells an absolutely ridiculous story about how she was born, basically how she gave birth, which includes a cow licking her clean. Santana's mom
was that the worst of it, though? Was that really it?
What?
I think the birth was even more gory than that, just more than just the cow. The fact that she was, like... It was one of those I didn't know I was pregnant situations.
Right, exactly. No, that's bizarre. And I mean, look, it's funny. What do you expect at this point with Brittany, right? It's the end of the series. They're going to give us everything we want in terms of the crazy, ridiculous stuff with
what
her.
What I found interesting about Brittany in this scene was actually like how horrified she was. It's like her mother makes her look like normal, if you know what I mean? And she's just like, oh my God. And in the next bit, like when they're doing the planning at the barn, it like her bridezilla-ness I found was like really realistic and not as crazy as I thought it'd be. It does sort of get more crazy, but I actually really liked Brittany in this whole opening. I think because it was juxtaposed to her like ridiculous mother.
Yeah, and Natalie, you and I were tweeting too about the bizarre green screen scenario. I don't know if it's just
let's talk about that straight off because I'm a little bit confused. They definitely filmed on location in the barn. That was real. I've seen photos. What I think might have been the issue that you were talking about is maybe the view out the barn door was not the view they wanted, and so they put a fake background on the barn or something like that.
So for
and
those... Just set it up so people listening know what we're talking about. In the barn scene in the very beginning of the episode, I just noticed a couple little moments where I remember, like, I think Tina walks over and talks to Kurt or something, and the exterior of the barn, so they're inside of the barn, but if you're looking outside of the barn, there's, like, I think a truck or something outside. Mm-hmm. It's very green screen, and I don't know that they sort of, like, place the visual effect the absolute perfect way. So as the camera pans, you know, naturally the background kind of moves along with it, but it looked almost like, you know... I don't know. It looked too like iMovie or something to me. So,
what do you mean? I was thinking about that. What do you mean by like an iMovie version of it? Because I feel like that means, I don't know, I've never done green screen in iMovie. I've only done it in Final Cut. Is it just like a lot more difficult to be precise with it or something?
No, I just mean like it's not, it didn't look very professional. I don't even know if you can do that with iMovie. I just meant that's sort of my way of sort of euphemism.
I'm such a specific person. You'll forgive me eventually.
Yeah.
There was a scene, the scene later on, just this is again just to do with the sort of green screen issue, not like the plot, but when the window where they stood in front of to do the vows,
was the other one.
That I reckon I know what that is, John. I don't even reckon it's green screen. I reckon that they had a netting there. They had like a net, like a mosquito net or something that made the background look completely corrupted. Mm. And I don't know if you guys have been on a lot of TV sets, but I've done the Paramount tour where they filmed Glee, and we didn't go to the Glee set because it was like illegal. But the other sets, what they have is painted backgrounds for like. Basically, so that there's like a set of like a room, and then they have this background that they can put outside the room, you know, to give it like a fake view out the window.
Right.
And I've got a feeling that it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's green screen or a literal painted backdrop like that, but I've got a feeling that they put a background in there or they did something to it, if you know what I mean, that looked really weird. Something felt
really weird about it, and then whenever you and I were tweeting about it, it had me thinking that, yeah, they must have captured the scene and then sort of realized, wait a minute, this isn't going to work in post-production. Like, I don't know.
Like, maybe there's some, like...
I didn't not even notice. I mean, I don't really look after that kind of stuff, but it didn't even stand out to me. Like, were you guys, like, specifically looking for it? Because I thought it...
No.
I was, because John had mentioned green screen and I knew for a fact that they did go to the barn, if you know what I mean, that it was filmed on location. So I was trying to work out what they'd done, but...
Yeah, it was just that one scene with Kurt and Tina, I think. I can't remember if it was Tina, but Kurt... And at the very beginning, I think it's nighttime outside, and it's just, like, very amateur-looking.
I thought you were talking about the actual, like, wedding vows with the netting in the background.
Well, there was that, too.
Yeah, okay, so that's the same shot, essentially, is what you're saying.
Well, right? Not exactly. Although, wait, were those technically the same spots of the barn?
Right.
I'm trying to remember. It might have been, yeah.
Because I noticed something weird there. And, I mean, now that Natalie mentions a netting, I'm hoping it was just that. In that they're, I don't know, like, for some reason they didn't think...
Yeah, they definitely weren't looking out an open window. They had something stretched across it. But whether that was, like...
Yeah.
From their post-production, or whether it was literally a netting, like warping the view, like a, you know, or something, like a very, you know, thin mesh of insects or something.
Well, were those doves real? Because if they were, that kind of explains it.
Who knows? Stupid doves.
Anyway.
Kitty got her doves.
Do you think they were pooing glitter?
Oh, probably, knowing Kurt, yeah.
not a big deal, but it also kind of made me think, like, really, Glee, like, you couldn't go to a barn, but then, Natalie, you said that they were at a barn, so, anyway.
The barn was real, so I don't know.
Was it real, like, on a set, or was it on location?
No, real on location outside of LA, like, somewhere in the countryside. It was, like, someone's property, like, outside LA.
Got it. Anyway, not a big deal. We can move on from that. I don't want to nitpick. But anyways, definitely if you're going to watch the episode over again, check out those particular scenes and let us know what you think. In the next scene, we see Santana and Brittany try on really beautiful wedding dresses while Rachel, Mercedes, and Tina give them a yes or a no. This was a fun little moment because there was like music playing in the background. I feel like we see this a lot on you know, comedies and TV shows and movies are like the bride's trying on the different outfits and her friends are giving them like the reaction shots. So this was kind of cute. Brittany finally lands on one, but Santana comes out and notices, and Brittany basically freaks out because she's worried Santana seeing her in the dress before the wedding is bad luck. I mean, I totally get, and we'll obviously get more into exactly what happened here, but for me it was funny because Santana was just like, what do you mean, what are you mad about? calm down, it's going to be okay. Like, everyone knows that's a tradition, whether it's a heteronormative tradition or not. It's just, I don't know, Santana's ignorance seemed interesting to me in this particular scene, but...
Well, because she was kind of, they were kind of saying it at first, but it was like, oh, cute little tradition, but not like, she, you know... They were trying to go along with the cute little tradition, but Santana wasn't freaking out about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. Also, I liked a couple of Britney's prior dresses to the one that she chose a lot more than the one she chose. And I liked Santana's, but I loved the 1920s one that she had with the little, kitten heels, the flappy one, like the flapper dress. I loved that. But anyway.
Jack, which one was your favorite?
I love Britney's, like the one that she actually chose.
Yeah.
Because I think I just love the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
That it was really well.
This is
really
turning into Project Runway, but that's okay.
It's fucking red. I've never even seen that. I just love the GIFs on Tumblr.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, back in the choir room, there's a debate about whether or not Sue should come to the wedding. No, hell no. If she's there, then I'm not, says Santana dramatically. This is so funny. Can I go through one more just quick brief moment where I explain how Glee is paralleling my life?
Yeah, go on.
My best, I wrote this in the Glee chat group that those of us on the show use to coordinate for the show. And my best friend is a lesbian and she's getting married this October. She's my very, very best friend, like been best friend since sixth grade type thing. And she's getting married. And my God, and her name's Brittany. I completely forgot about that.
I didn't know she was lesbian, but cool.
Okay, there's that. Yeah. That's fine. And just this week, and by the way, I had no idea like any kind of plot points that were happening on Glee or anything. Just this week, we had a long conversation because one of our other friends married a homophobic man, and we don't want him to come to the wedding. And it was almost the exact same conversation that they were having about Sue. And it was just so bizarre that my lesbian best friend named Brittany was having the exact same conversation this week. But anyway, at this point, what did you guys think? Were you adamant that Sue shouldn't come to the wedding? Caitlin, what were your thoughts at this point?
I was totally Team Santana. Like, Sue was the worst, and she made their lives a living hell. She wanted to shoot Brittany out of a cannon. So
that's a good point.
But I did think they had a good point. Like, she was more likely to wreck the wedding if she wasn't invited than if she was.
Yeah, that's totally what I thought as well. Yeah. And I felt like, you know, I totally get Santana's point, but I felt like because they were making such a thing of it, that you know, Sue actually wanted to be genuine and nice, you know, that she actually wanted to. I knew that she wouldn't end up screwing it up, but Santana was totally on point with what she was saying, but the other girls were right. There was so much of a higher chance of her screwing it up out of revenge than out of, like, whatever else she thinks she's doing.
Right. And it's weird because Sue goes back and forth. Like, sometimes she does have really what seem to be, you know, genuine, emotional, compassionate emotions, particularly about Cheerios and former Cheerios. But, it's hard to read her these days.
Well, that's what Sue's always been like to me. Remember, I've been on a couple rants that I'll save everyone from because I've done them before. But I think Caitlin in particular has agreed with me in the past that, like, we don't really care what happens with Sue when any plot involves her.
Yes.
There's no development that we need. There's no, like, introduction. There's no explanation. We don't need anything. Sue could literally do anything she wants in the show, and it would just be, like, unfair game, and I'd suck it up. I'd just say, whatever, it's Sue. Like, I mean, I can even think back to plots of her. I won't turn this into a rant. I'll just mention this. The suicide moment still bothers me. The chewing on the gummy shit still bothers me.
What?
Can you explain a little bit more?
The suicide moment when she said, "I'm going to commit suicide." She chews on fruit gummies to try and kill herself. Like vitamin
and she made the joke, like she spelt it like
we can always, like, I feel like tie this back to Karofsky with how upset she was about, like, Karofsky committing suicide, yet she seemed to make it such a joke. I don't know, it just, like, she always flips spectrums, John, and it's I think she's one of the show's weakest points, and it's sad because she used to be one of the show's strongest points purely for humor, and then they tried to humanize her, and when they did that, they've ruined her ridiculous persona. They've given her, like, you know, this humane side that we don't really know what to do with. Because in the end of the day, she wasn't invited to the wedding, but she didn't ruin it. We could expect either Sue personality A or Sue personality B, B being the nicer one. We got the nicer one this time around where she didn't ruin the wedding. But she could have had the potential to 100% ruin the wedding if she decided.
You know, they could have just flipped a coin and made a choice.
Right, exactly. Because like Mercedes and the like we're saying, according to Sue's original plot, character development in like season one, yes, she should have ruined this wedding, but then she didn't. And I'm just like, you even set it up like she was going to. So I guess I did have a Sue rant.
Honestly, I don't think she would have ruined it because Sue's always been very family orientated.
Orientated, yeah.
But she did. She's ruined several other weddings.
Yeah.
They mentioned she's ruined two other weddings. It's just...
No, she hasn't. What other one did she ruin? What?
She showed up to the Wemmer wedding in that freaking dress, and it wasn't just because of Emma leaving. She was wearing it before Emma chose to do it. She was doing it out of revenge to embarrass Will.
Yeah, but that's not going to ruin the wedding.
It'd be pretty damn awkward if someone showed up in a wedding dress to your own wedding, I would say.
It's kind of
like... She wouldn't have done anything because she was helping out Emma before Emma ran away. I don't think she would have actually done anything.
She would have just sat there in this copy of the wedding dress and made everyone feel embarrassed. Like, it's still a bit weird.
I mean, it's different because we have to look at it from a television point of view, right? Like we think it's funny, it's kind of like a comedy, blah blah blah. But then when you put it in the realities of like an actual wedding, yeah, exactly.
Like, Jesus Christ!
Well, it's funny that you mentioned it being like a comedy still, because John, unless you had it planned separately, I think it's appropriate that we read what Roxanne wrote because she pretty much sums up exactly what we're talking about.
Sure. Let's read.
Roxanne just writes in. Okay, guys, I have not watched Glee in such a long time, like literally in forever. The last thing I remember was all of them in New York. Anyways, I decided to watch some Glee that was on my DVR in hopes to catch up for the finale and started with the Hurt Locker Part 1.
This is the worst episode to start with.
You must
not have been listening to Glee Chat then.
I've watched everything past that, including tonight's episode, A Wedding, and I literally have to ask, what the fuck is going on with the show? !! Did the writers decide to drop the dramedy category and turn it into a giant farce / spoof of itself? I mean, yeah, they really did.
Yeah,
I like this episode, despite the claim shit.
Despite the claim and the Sue shit, I'm with you, Jack. So, I mean, like, remember, Jack, when I was rating the episode of Whatever Happens with, like, the fake Emma in the end? I was like, it was the base 80s Glee episode. I was like, Jack, this episode was a 10 out of 10, except for that fake Emma 9. Like, those two moments brought it down from its 10 out of 10 in a wedding, the Sue and the Klain shit, from, like, a 10 to, like, a 5. They ruined it. They were, like, they were just a stink, you know? And it really sucks that they had to happen because the Britannia stuff in this episode was just so solid. And it made sense.
And
it was good.
But I'm just going to interrupt this rant with another rant. But all of the press coming out after this episode is all freaking focusing on Klain. It's all, oh my God, Klain got married.
Yeah. Why?
But it totally took away from Britannia's actual planned, slightly more healthy development of their relationship, if you know what I mean. Klain, all the articles, and I'm so pissed. It's just so stupid.
That was exactly my thoughts, too, by the end of the episode, and we'll get to that probably here soon.
Well,
but
I'm just saying,
even...
I would have preferred a Tina and Mike shotgun wedding as opposed to a Klain shotgun wedding.
Not even that, because... They defined what a pure and good relationship should be as Britannia, and they showed that one wasn't in Tina and Mike, and that they weren't dating.
No, I disagree.
And then,
talk about the Tina and Mike thing when we get to it. Like, I have thoughts about it.
We will. I agree, but I just wanted to finish my thought about what happens in the end with, like, Klain still happening amongst that Tina and Mike line is just going to be weird when we get to that part of discussion. I don't know. I feel like we're going to go in depth there.
Okay. Go on. No, let's just go from where we are. But yeah, Tina and Mike thing, I'm annoyed that they shunted them into what they did. So yeah, let's go.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's continue. But another thing I wanted to mention was to go off what you were just saying, Natalie, about the Klain press was, I think, a couple hours. I was still at work, and that's about 3 or 4 hours before Glee even airs on the East Coast.
Yep.
And Klain wedding was trending worldwide on Twitter. And I was like, and I didn't even know they got married. I thought maybe they would based on some of the like photos and
It was like there were like set what? Spoilers and stuff.
You managed to not get spoiled on that. That's pretty impressive, John.
No, I mean, I kind of had the idea that it was happening, but it was also like, is it going to be like a flash sideways drama, you know, memory flash forward thing? Like, I didn't know if it was actually going to happen. But anyway, yeah.
John, well, the show isn't Lost. Unfortunately, it doesn't have the pros of the character developments of Lost. I wish it did.
Yeah.
Was that Lost they referenced in this episode? Is Jack and Rose Lost?
No, Jack and Rose is Titanic.
Titanic.
Oh my god!
You're thinking Jack and Kate.
I'm going to shoot myself in the face.
I'm pretty sure you weren't even born, when Titanic came out. But that was. Wait, when were you born, Jack? I forget.
95.
Oh, good. You were two.
He was born when Titanic came out.
Yeah,
he was. You were two. I remember going to the theater to see it.
Because Jack is like 2 years younger than me, and I remember being like 7 or something when that movie came out, and everyone was like seeing it 5 times in a row.
Meanwhile,
very early high school, and it was like the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of time. I think Titanic came out, and Jerry left the Spice Girls in the same year, and it was a really... And it was like my first year of high school, and it was a really hard time. Okay,
Oh, that's hilarious.
In the late 90s, Natalie and I had a lot to go through.
Yeah,
were the Hanson brothers like a thing that year too? Did that get tacked on?
Wait, sorry, what?
The Hanson brothers,
they never Hanson really broke
were
up.
A couple of years earlier, but like I don't know about them breaking up. They're still not broken up. They're still brothers.
No, not broken up, but like a thing. Like I thought that they exploded like the year of Titanic or something.
Caitlin, remind me again if you don't mind asking how old you are. Sorry,
26.
Okay, so you're up there with us a little bit.
You're a college professor. That's so cool. And I don't know.
Anyway, we should do a whole sideshow just about our late 90s breakdown, Natalie. But
I'll talk about when I was getting trained.
Yeah, we should all do rewatchable, John, but we should do it for like Clarissa Explains It All or something.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Or like, I feel like Boy Meets World is like prime for that. I really do.
I've never seen Boy Meets World. It never made it to Australia. Like a lot of the big shows did, like Clarissa and like, a lot of those shows, especially Nickelodeon-based ones. But Boy Meets World actually never made it to Australia, which is weird.
Well, it's funny because Boy Meets World, even though it's like the longest show ever, could be like the second Avatar: The Last Airbender, because then it has a sequel series after that, like Korra. It'd be really poetic, but I think we'd be on Boy Meets World stuff for like 5 years, literally, if we did that show. So probably not going to happen.
Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell, the new class. Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Can I just say something about Saved by the Bell? And then we actually will talk about Glee, more Glee stuff on this episode. But I tried watching. It was on Netflix or something streaming. And I was like, I'm going to watch Saved by the Bell. Like, let me get my popcorn. And I started it and I was like, oh my god, I can't get through 10 minutes of this show.
It's nostalgia.
It does not stand up to the time. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to watch for the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, like maybe with a group of friends with the volume down or something. I don't know. Anyway, back to Glee. Kurt breaks the news to Walt that he's going to go to the wedding with Blaine. Walt realizes that it's a sign that he loves Blaine and tells him to, quote, go toward love. We cut to Kurt running in the middle of the road like a dream sequence, which was really weird. I don't know.
He runs kind of funny, too. It was kind of awkward to watch him run.
Oh, such a bad runner. It's embarrassing. I'm, like, sad for him.
I know. And it's just funny that it was featured for so long. Like, if they knew he was a bad runner, you probably could have showed, like, his torso up and just had him jog in place. And I would have bought it all the same, for real. Like, I didn't need that.
So he's running to Blaine's apartment. Kurt rushes Blaine into the apartment and says that he loves him and still loves him. Blaine says, quote, there's no one else. And he grabs Kurt's face and kisses him. Just two quick notes.
Is this meant
here.
To happen? I was going to say, sorry, John, but is this meant to happen before or after the conversation with Walter? Because he tells Walter that he's going to the wedding. No, I think it's before.
Yeah, good point.
Well, that would explain why it feels like a dream sequence, though.
Because Kurt's remembering it.
Well, I think that the running happened before the date with Walter. That he went and had his moment about Blaine and then met up with Walter to, like, break it off, if you know what
that
I mean.
Would explain the dream sequence thing.
I don't think that is, because it seems they were framing it like his conversation with Walter was inspiring him to go get Blaine.
I know, but then why would he say, Caitlin, why would he be like, I'm going to the wedding with Blaine before he asks Blaine?
Well, wait a minute.
Because Blaine works in a circular universe.
Why is it a big deal? Why is it a big deal that he's gone with Blaine? Like, Walter knows that they're sort of friends, you know? Like, I understand why it's, like,
Whatever.
I think we
can get to the bottom of this by checking out what exactly Kurt was wearing, right? Like, could we
same
notice?
Thing. It was the same outfit. You know, so I just figured it out, though, because I was thinking about it, and I was Glee has something in common with Doctor Who that I especially this moment, that I sincerely do not care for. It's the timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly. Sorry, Natalie, I know you're a big fan of the series.
At the moment I'm pissed at it.
Okay, because this is like a timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly thing we're not supposed to really care about. Like, it doesn't matter which happened first, it just mattered that it happened. Which really bothers me, because the way that that happened should have mattered more to Kurt. The way he was talking to Walter made it sound like he already had that conversation with Blaine. But yes, of course it sounds like... Walter was inspiring him to go talk to Blaine, and the fact that the show doesn't care to define that and makes it very loose is just, it's silly. It's just define it very simply for us. Like, a different outfit would have helped. That's just nice cinematography to show us what's going on. Jack, go ahead.
They can't even get their timeline right in the same episode.
I know, it's not even like we're overarching. Like, this is one storyboard.
You can't really say that it's a timeline thing. I mean, there was a dream sort of, you know, flash sequence, whatever
that
means.
They did
that
weird lighting thing that they've never, ever, literally ever used right. before.
Oh, my God. When that happened, I just literally screamed, what the fuck is happening here? Like, yeah. Where are we? We have Planet Mars?
It's an indie coming-of-age movie, like,
Yeah, it was very like Juno or something weird.
Yeah.
I think that it's worth noting. I mean, Blaine was also moving out of his apartment, right? So where exactly would we expect Blaine to be in that way? Because maybe we could figure it out from that.
Blaine's moving out, you're saying, right? Not Kurt, not Krofsky.
I think that he's meeting Walter to break it off. Like, I think he's asked Blaine to the wedding, because when he rushes in and he's like, will you go to the wedding with me? It's not like that they've already agreed as friends, because he's asking him, will you go to the wedding with me, if you know what I mean. So I think that he's had his reunion with Blaine after he realized that Blaine was like giving him sad eyes in the choir room or whatever. And then he's meeting up with what he'd arranged to meet up with Walter before he did his running. And he was like, oh shit, I better like break up with him now. But it does, but the way that Walter talks about it is totally like, inspiring him to go get Blaine. So it's really circular and really weird, and
why include Walter? Why include a very specific type of man that Kurt is dating? Why not just make him like a Jane man or Jane Doe, however you would say that, and just not care?
John Doe,
not care what he looks like, and not have a specific plot? Because this was a specific plot to show Kurt dating like an older man, and that was supposed to be like something he overcame to then have a very special relationship with him. I really don't get it. This whole Walter thing never made sense to me, and I also still don't get Kurt's little like, oh, let's go on a triple date, Blaine, thing in the last episode, just leading into him breaking up with Walter and going back to Blaine and saying, everything's fixed now because I say it is. It's. I don't know if that's a manipulation. Yeah. I don't know if that's just like some inane type of stupidity. I don't know what Kurt is going at here. It just really blows my mind. I do not understand Kurt.
Kurt was doing some gross things. Because he was technically dating Walter when he was doing a lot of manipulating, trying to get Blaine to come back to him. It's like, you're technically dating somebody.
So Walter's his security blanket, like his fallback.
He's a safety net. Yeah.
Because Kurt needs someone treating him like he's awesome.
And let's be honest, that might be some of the, like, you know, reason he's with Walt. I mean, I know a lot of sort of older gay men that are very similar to Walt, who... I don't want to say this is like a weird gay term, like daddies necessarily, but they're sort of this sort of older figure that younger gay men gravitate towards because maybe they need that kind of nurturing and caring. And I don't know. It's weird. I wish that we had more episodes to sort of jump into the Kurt and Walt thing, because it feels like there might be more to Kurt behind that. But anyway, who knows?
It's probably just because he's still in, like... We discussed in flashbacks how he'd always bring up to Bert, oh, you have a problem because I'm gay. And Bert's like, no, we discussed this. That's not the thing. Right. He probably still has that mentality. So he feels like he needs to get justification through.
Caitlin, I figured it out. I know what the show's aiming for now. Walter was as nonchalant as Karofsky, not because he's as kind and caring and I don't even know, as as blissful as Karofsky seems to now be. But I think Walter is really just planning on killing Blaine and Kerr. Or he was hired by Sue, that's his whole goal. It's never gonna end. He is the serial killer. I know he is. There's gonna be something bad.
Aaron Eccles never really died.
Aaron Eccles never died.
Witness protection.
That's so weird.
We didn't see his death on screen in Veronica Mars, just to say, you know what I mean?
Well, that's so weird about this guy, I swear to God.
I don't know. There's something weird going on with Walter, and it's not the fact that he's an older man dating a younger man. It's just There's a vibe. I get a vibe.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing, too, is how wonderful is it for Kurt and Blaine that both of their boyfriends were like, hey,
so accepting. And, oh, you guys have got true love together. Like, go, you go, be
OTP.
OTP hats. Well, you know what makes me wonder?
I can't.
I know. There's more than we can, Natalie.
Unnecessary.
But before we move on to OTP hats, doesn't this make you wonder how many people are now in on Sue's clean get back together thing? Because all of a sudden, in the freakiest freaking scene ever, Brittany has like these stand-up things. I don't want to jump ahead, just to say that there's like more people in on the Sue thing than we ever knew, and the fact that Brittany and Santana were in on it. So now I'm wondering, like, is Walter in on this? Like, who else can be in on this stupid Clayne thing? What is going on? I don't understand. Why was that thrown in? It just I'm feeling a bit paranoid toward the Sue Clayne plot now.
I was gonna say, is there like a Facebook group, like a Lima Facebook group that's like you know, Clayne plotting like group that people can join
and can we be a part of it and things like that? Yeah.
Kind of like her Legion of Doom or whatever she was doing, right?
Yeah.
Did she have a Facebook group for that? I think she did.
Honey Badger.
Speaking of weird master planning, let's move over to where Tina tells Blaine, Artie, and Puck that she's going to propose to Mike Chang. Everyone says it's a quiet idea. What the hell did I just say? Everyone says it's a terrible idea, except Blaine, who cheekily looks into the camera and says he thinks it's romantic.
Of course he does.
Right? Yeah,
Blaine thought it was fine to propose to someone he wasn't dating as well. Right. Like, what is these people are unstable.
Well, this
like,
was
seriously.
The first time. I love like all the different characters for what they bring to the show. This was the first time in at least a couple of seasons, I guess, where I'm just like, I don't know that I like Tina anymore because
I hate her so much.
I really, yeah, like, am I able to say that without getting reprimanded? I'm glad that you
well,
said it at least now.
I hate her so much.
No, John, I feel like after the Vapor Rape, that like public approval of all things Tina went down to the drain. So I think you're good. I don't think anyone's really going to stand up for Tina at this point.
Jack, what were you saying?
Jack is.
Only because, it was stupid, and she gets called out on it. But I thought the resolution was really good with Mike, and we can talk more about it then. But, even though she was an idiot, and it was, everything about us fucked up. I was swearing a lot this episode, sorry. It ended well.
Yeah, I guess it did. In this particular moment, I remember being like, are you kidding me, Tina? Like, you're completely...
But you're meant to feel that way. You're meant to, just so we get a good resolution.
But she seems so completely stupid. Like, how... I mean, come on. This is,
I felt bad for her.
Why? Like, why did you feel bad?
All the people, like, all her closest friends are, paired off, and then there's this whole, wedding frenzy going around with her closest friends, and she's lonely, and she's isolated off at her school with none of the other people around, so she keeps getting brought back into this situation where she's lonely, and, pointed... It just keeps being thrown in her face that she's lonely.
Now I feel absolutely terrible. Thank you very much, Caitlin.
I will stand up for Tina.
From that point of view, I get it. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe she was sort of seeing everybody. All of her best friends are like, in the trenches of romantic, such scenarios.
Can I just say, though, I think she has like Stockholm syndrome because they never treated her that well. She was never anyone's like total... best friend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like her relationship with Blaine. Yeah, but Jack, it was freaking messed up. It was
screwed up. I thought that parade was romantic.
Oh yeah, obviously. She never had like a best friend. Her and Artie were like used to be really close, but it seems like they always have kind of been. But they didn't treat each other that well to start with, and all of that kind of thing. But she keeps coming back to them. It's like you got into Brown, like you know your own power. You don't have to be this like bottom of the heap person there. You can go and make your own new life and like meet people that like aren't going to be like the be all and end all to you and like make you feel back in the same position that you always used to.
Why didn't she go
and
meet Emma Watson or something at Brown? Like, there are good people there. She has good opportunities for a good life.
And speaking of Stockholm Syndrome, I really do think that we should take this moment to play the song Stockholm Syndrome by One Direction because it's just that good. Me this way.
Okay. Yep. Harry wrote that song because he's into super kinky shit. Anyway, Look, it's not a lie. Anyway, moving on from Harry Styles. But, yeah, I don't know. Tina, I'm quite, I guess, impressed that the show has realised that they were writing a character that people don't like and that they've kind of played up to that, I guess. Like, I don't think Tina was ever originally meant to be, like, an unlikable character. She was meant to be a sweet character. And then pretty early on, they started, like, giving her, like this really bad scapegoat material. And she's always joking and she's always kind of mean and awful. And they kind of ended up playing into that a lot more.
No,
but like,
it happened.
Why doesn't she go make herself like a better life and not be so weird? Like, I don't know.
It happened in season 4 at the end of season 3 when she had the episode where she fell into the fountain. And then she had a really good episode realizing that she deserves better than how she was treated in the back of the choir room, never got any solos and whatnot. But then the show started playing it up as now she's always going to complain about that in season 4. And then that just progressed into just being a total bitch all the time.
She became really horrible. And I'm sorry, but like her best guys, have her and Puck like ever interacted on the screen before? Ever?
Ever.
No.
Ever.
Why was Sam not there? Because Blantina was a thing, and
That they were all like BFFs.
To be honest, I'm not all jazzed for Sam in this season, so I'm not bothered that he wasn't there.
So anyway, at the wedding, Santana is telling Brittany about the heteronormative tradition of seeing the bride before the wedding. When Sue bursts in bearing gifts, it turns out that the gift was Santana's abuela, who apologizes and says that she wants to be there. We kind of already talked about this in the previous episode. I think, Caitlin, you were like, look, we all know that she's going to be there. You know, like, we knew that this was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. Do you think that this was enough of a redeeming quality, Mitch, for Sue to just show up unexpected and uninvited, but with a good situation happening?
In the alternate universe that Glee has always existed in, yes. But realistically, no, because it never would have worked. Because the things that Sue told Abuela did not make sense in order to get Abuela to come to the wedding. Like, let's kill them. And then she's like, no. But there was no resolution to that little conversation that Sue and Abuela had at Abuela's door.
Well,
so, like, what did...
kind of...
Go ahead, Natalie.
I was going to say, I think you were kind of meant to assume that Sue then went, "What? See, if you're going to object to all of these things, then it must be that you actually love and support your granddaughter, so I'm taking you to the wedding right now." I think that's what you were kind of meant to take away from
it. It was almost like sarcasm.
It's weird, though, because it's like, is a person a gift? Isn't that considered some form of prostitution? I don't know. it just really didn't feel right. Because it's like, I don't know how I feel about her manipulating someone else and that getting her in. I feel like at that point I'd be like, okay, Willie, you're in. Sue, I told you never say never. Not even that. I told you I'm never going to let you in, regardless of what gift you may think you have.
I don't think that that's fair. I think that that is more of a, I don't think it's a manipulation thing. I think it's a, Santana, this is what I'm doing to show you that my wanting to be there for you is genuine and that it's not me trying to have some power and it's not me trying to screw up your wedding. Here I am with your abuela. I've orchestrated this for you because it means so much to you. This is my proof that I have your best interests at heart and I actually want to be here for you. That's what I think it meant for Sue to do.
I agree.
That.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, then again, we're just back to, we were lucky enough to get Sue Personality B where that happened, you know, and it's just, that's why I agree with Santana, because I think, you know, even Santana is like, you may say that you have a heart sometimes, but you really don't. Because, I mean, if you can't decide whether or not you're humane or not, you're not. Because you can't decide. Because you flip-flop.
Yeah,
so back
the fact
that
you have to question it. Yeah.
So that's why Santana shouldn't let her in. Because it's like, just because you have this one good moment doesn't mean that you still don't have something horrible up your sleeve. And I think it was very naive of Santana to take that as the truce to let Sue in. Sue should not have been involved in this. Sue has done just horrible things to everyone just because she wants to, even when they've been nice to her. And it's just, it's ridiculous. I don't like
Especially
Sue.
Especially when Sue shows up in a black suit. It's like, ooh, you're ominous.
I know. Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on. Brittany and Sue continue to make things awkward for us at home, at least, as they lure Blaine and Kurt into a room with two black tuxedos.
No.
Oh my god, the groans. Let me get through
guys,
it.
Guys, this was the best part of the episode.
Let the sex pollen pump. I hated
it. She says that she thinks they should get married with them as well, given how inspiring they were to her and Santana. Kurt's all like, oh my god, no, this is crazy, right, Blaine? But Blaine's all like, I mean, I love you, so... The ceremony begins, and Mercedes sings At Last, which was very good, very great. Kurt escorts Brittany down the aisle, followed by Blaine and Santana. Everyone slowly sort of realizes that this isn't just a Brittany and Santana big day anymore. The two couples exchange vows, and just like that, in one moment, Brittana and Klain are married on Glee. I don't even know where
Rachel's
to begin.
Rachel's face when like she saw Kurt down the aisle was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
It was interesting. If this ever happened to me, I would have been a lot. I would have given a lot more of a reaction. I would have been like, "What? Oh my god!" Like really freaking out that like there's now a double wedding that no one knew about.
And his dad knew about it when they got to the altar. Like, he knew that. Like they must have filled him in. Like off screen. Like, you know, because we didn't see them making the decision to go ahead with it. We, you know, cut away from them, and then it's time for the wedding. So.
I kept waiting for that moment of being like, "Wait, is he in on this or no?" I wasn't sure. Before we get into the craziness of what exactly this is, this was the first time in the episode where I was like, wait a minute, where's Quinn?
And, thank you! I was going to bring that up!
And I feel like she was the one person that really should have been there, especially for Brittany and Santana. I mean, look, we can beat this sort of theme over and over again on this podcast of like, where is the random person that should be in the scene? I don't know. Does anyone have any good theories or has heard anything even maybe about production wise?
No. Where well, like, Diana is always doing something. Like she has like
she has a lot of films. She makes a lot of films.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least we got Sugar. Just saying.
I want to believe that Quinn is there. We just didn't get a shot of her, if you know what I mean. In my head, Quinn is at that wedding. We just didn't actually get. Like, because Puck's there, and presumably they're off living together somewhere or whatever it is they do. And I want to assume that Quinn is there. We just didn't happen to get a shot of her.
It would have been nice to have at least one little mention of her.
That's what I was going to say. All it takes is, like, 10 seconds for Puck to just be like, oh, Quinn
Quinn's
is
in the
busy
bathroom.
Studying or, I don't know. Like
Quinn's lost in her
Beetle. Speaking of, like, who's in the bathroom or whatever, because didn't Brittany's mom make it sound like they just didn't hire on I think it's Ken Jeong, right, for this episode, because he was just, like, not there for so many important scenes for some reason.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's – I mean, if they did the same with Quinn, I would have rolled my eyes in the same aspect. But then Ken was there. Brittany's father was there.
So maybe Pierce.
Or Quinn stand-in.
Oh, no, I don't want any more stand-ins. I'm sorry.
No stand-ins.
No, I'd rather nothing, like, all or nothing. That's it.
So let's get back to, you know, Quinn aside. We did get a February mention later on in the episode, which was nice. But still, you can't do a wedding with every single member of the original cast except Quinn. Come on. But anyway, back to the whole wedding scenario. I mean, the episode was okay until this point for me. And then this was just like, no. I mean, let's talk about what exactly we think. I mean, my personal opinion was that, you know, and I think Natalie mentioned this at the top of the show or maybe before we started recording, but it really takes away from not just Klain's wedding and what it could have been or Brittana's wedding, but just the individuality of those two fandoms, you know, like people love, I don't know that people love both of those fandoms equally. I think they each have their own sort of wings.
They're not, the people in the fandoms are not crossing over. They are, pretty different camps, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so I feel like this episode was probably very confusing and probably a letdown for those of us who liked one fandom over the other. And Kaylin, I think you would agree from what I hear.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Did anyone else have any like major issues with this other than
Can I just say that it's significant, I think, that Santana was talking about arranged marriages because Kurt and Blaine's is literally arranged by everyone around them.
That's
except them.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah. I don't know. Everything about it just felt ridiculous. There was a couple of Klain moments in this episode I liked. I liked when they were outside of the wedding and taking the photo as the American Gothic couple. For some reason, I found that adorable.
That was.
And I liked their reaction. I kind of liked their reaction when, you know, obviously Bert gave them that whole, oh, love. Don't waste time. Yeah, we've heard this 14 times before. Okay. It doesn't make them more functional, the more times you say this. But just their Kurt's kind of reaction of like, oh my God, I don't know what to feel, was quite It was one of his more innocent moments, I think. But, like, those moments never sit that true to me because of all of the times when he's, like, super manipulative. And it reminds me of, that Kurt thinks that he is this, like, innocent little princess, basically, that's how he feels about himself and that he doesn't realize that he's, like, a cold, hard bitch, like, I think, some of the time. Yeah. But I don't know. It was, like, I don't know. It was clearly not a good choice to be like, we got back together 2 days ago.
Well, that's what my next point was.
Get married. Like, yeah.
My next question to everyone was just sort of, is this the right time for them? I mean, yeah, they did just get back together, but it's clear that they did still have all those emotions in some capacity varying as they are throughout the previous episodes. I don't know, Jack, do you think that this is the best time for this, or should they have sort of waited it out a little more?
Of course not. Like, I don't know why they just feel the need to shotgun weddings or because it's like at the beginning of season 5, they got back together in the same episode and then got engaged in the same episode. Like, it's just take some time, you know?
Yeah. Especially in the new version of them, you know, because they sort of had their moments away from each other. Maybe now's the time where they get to know each other, you know, as true, mature people, right? Caitlin, I feel like you must have more to weigh in on with this, considering it has to do with their, I don't know, emotional maturity. And you've had a lot to mention about that in the past.
They need to have a conversation or 37 conversations, and they have not had one. All they're doing is riding this high of emotion and going with it, and that's what got them into trouble every other time that they have
gotten together and broken up. And they don't talk.
Cry and kiss. It's true, though, yeah.
And this really bothers me that this was never about their choice. Like, it was completely manipulated by Sue and apparently Brittany for them to get to this
situation. Since when does Brittany love Klain so much? Sorry.
Yeah. And why would Santana allow this at her wedding? Like,
I know. It
makes no sense.
Especially after how Kurt acted at her proposal.
That's exactly what I was saying. Exactly. And through that whole entire ceremony, I'm like, there's no way she's going to let them take the whole day away from her after that. Anyway, there's also the sort of production value or the production element of this. Let's face it, there are only 13 episodes this season. You know, it sort of felt to me like a way to cram a lot of sort of, you know, loose ends into one episode so that they can move on with whatever's happening in the final phases of the series. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that's what came to mind for me.
Even when they got back together at the start of season 5, like the way the dialogue was written, it sounded like they had been talking for a while.
Yeah.
Before this happened, they're like, you know, we talked about this and I told you this, like, so it made it seem like there has been some level of communication. There's nothing. And they could have had them get back together at the end of the last episode instead of having Blaine look all sad puppy in the choir. Like, what was the point of that? Because there was zero follow-up to that.
Insane. And I don't know, just everything about this episode, the two marriages, like, you know, the two, look at our two beautiful gay weddings, look at the culmination of what we've done for the world, is what Glee, that's what it felt like Glee was saying, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, big gay
congratulatory, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, like, look at us, look how we've done this, like, look at, you know, look, we've given you what you've wanted forever, and it didn't feel very genuine. Like, and then they pull out the OTP hats, which made me want to literally die. And I'm just like, okay, I'm sorry, but, like, I know that we're all, like, kind of internet pop culture people who, you know, are used to that kind of terminology, but people in the world don't go around talking like that. Like, they don't. Uh-oh. Like, they really don't. Like, Santana is not on the internet, like, reading fan fiction on Tumblr, you know? Like, she doesn't know about OTP.
Yeah.
So she goes on a Rosalie and Isles blog.
Oh, maybe she knows about OTP in that case. I don't know. But, like, it's just so stupid. Like, and it's so... It's just, like, how can people not take it as incredibly, like...
pandering, tongue-in-cheek
pandering, and it's just like, I don't know, I don't know how they get away with it. I don't know how they think, like, do they think this is cute? Like, do they think this is, like, adorable and, like, or the fans will love this. Yeah, like, I don't know. People love this? Like, is
this is exactly, like, sorry. This is exactly why I didn't like the meta stuff with Sue, because inextricably connected Sue and her grossness, where she was representing fandom with now pushing these two to get married. She literally has to force them to get married. There's no natural organic way to get them to the altar at this point. So she has to find all these weird machinations to get them together. And it's very forced, but it's all like, because Sue has now been representing fandom in those weird Hurt Locker episodes, now it's just like, we're giving you what fandom wanted, but this
like,
one
look, guys,
segment
we did
fandom.
It for you. Like, this is...
Yeah.
And that's... I mean, I'll talk about it a little bit at the end, because I don't want to go into it too much, because I didn't read all the comments and it was too dramatic. But I wrote an article about, like, Klain and about why it sucks. By the way, the working title of that article was Klain Sucks, FYI. I sort of toned it down a little bit from that.
Natalie's talking about an article she wrote on Hyperbole.
On Hyperbole. Yeah. But one point I made was about Sue and about how, like, it's in the Hurt Locker and moving on from there, it's confusing about what you're meant to take away from her actions. Like, so we look at Sue and we're like, she is deluded and crazy. So are we meant to view her actions as like a clever, like, anti-Klain commentary? Or are we meant to be like cheering along with her? And now it seems like that we're not meant to be, I mean, she's deluded, but when we're meant to be like approving of her, if you know what I mean. Whereas I was like, I'm crossing my fingers that they know what they're doing and that they're putting this in as like a mean commentary on fandom as opposed to a pandering commentary on fandom, and it's not. Yeah. So I don't know what to think about that, really.
We'll get into more of Natalie's particularly awesome article on Hypeable here in just a minute after we wrap up the rehash. In the next scene, Mike casually walks by during the reception and says hi to Tina, and he's all like, hey, just one thing real quick, make sure we get a dance, see you later. But then Tina pulls him aside and proposes to him. Mike's all like, what the hell, Tina, what are you talking about? They eventually agree that it was crazy, thank God, because I was really worried how the scene was going to end. And it ends with them sort of muttering and joking, leaving this wherever they were in the barn. And yeah, we talked about this, so we don't have to go into in-depth detail, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just completely over Tina. So
I just appreciated like the maturity of the whole thing and how Mike, because Tina is crazy, but I realized in this episode, Mike is the only one that really, I think, can calm her down, because the moment when Tina started getting wild was season 4 when they'd broken up.
Yeah, that's a true. And that's a
my big thing about this that I got pissed about was that it was a that this is the relationship they chose to do the not all high school relationships will last forever message in, if you know what I mean. Because I mean, it's pretty obvious that I wanted that to be Klain. Because it's more because that is, I think, number one, like, more unhealthy, and also it's more of an A plot couple. It's like they've shifted this really important they've shifted this really important message, which I do think needed to happen with a couple in Glee, if you know what I mean, for God's sake, at least one, of saying, like, you know, no, not everyone who paired up in the Glee club is going to be together forever, and that's okay, and, you know, maturity and all of that kind of thing. And not well enough, in my opinion. And yeah, I don't think Sam and Rachel. I don't think Sam and Rachel are going to be like Endgame. I really, at least, hope they're not.
I agree.
And I think we all know who
Rachel's going to Endgame with at this point.
Oh, shut up! I can't even talk about it. I'm so stressed, Mitch. Unless in case it doesn't happen, so
spoiler,
just don't.
Chad,
just don't.
We won't talk.
Just
about
don't. Right, I can't. I think that message should have happened to one of the A-plot couples. I really, and to me, the I most agree, appropriate yeah. for that is Klain, because I think that they're dysfunctional. But if it hadn't been Klain, if it had been the opposite way around, if Klain had been wonderful and Britannia had been like, we've grown to not be together and stuff, I think that, you know, obviously there aren't too many more, like, you know, Puck and Quinn got their stuff, they, you know, their shit together after a long time, and they, you know, are off screen being functional. And Rachel doesn't really have that opportunity anymore.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so you Klain had mentioned this a couple episodes ago that you really thought that Klain would be that sort of.
It's not that I thought they'd be, it's that I wanted them to be. It's okay, that it, to me, it makes the most sense
Natalie,
for them to
talking
have that
about,
story.
talking about your article that you wrote about why Clean sucks, it's really evident why the fandom fell in love with them the way they did. And to paraphrase from what you said, that they're very likable characters, they're interesting in a dynamic such as a relationship. But, I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like together they just do not work and they will never work. And it's
like the potential is so much more interesting. Like every time that they're not together and that they have like this, you know, friendship that's slightly charged, it's like, oh yeah, I can totally see why they would work. And also because they talk more, they do less crying and kissing and they talk more. So there's that, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, that plot line that they gave Mike and Tina of like,
yeah,
you know, let's move on, you know, high school love isn't forever, you know, whatever, that I really think that should have happened to, you know, more important characters. No offense to Mike and Tina.
Well, fair enough. That was sort of the last time that was sort of the last moment between Mike and Tina, basically for the whole episode. But we think that they're coming back a little bit throughout the last episodes of the series in some capacity. Mm. In the next scene, the Trouble Tones perform "I'm So Excited" with some help from the moms, which I thought was really cute throwback and sort of incorporating the moms in a really fun way.
My God, Blaine's mother.
Like Blaine's mother who is at that wedding for no reason. Blaine's mother who's apparently never met Carol in like how long have Kurt and Blaine been seeing each other?
And her only lines in the episode were, "I'm Blaine's mom." Apparently not getting to talk runs in the family.
Well, it's not even that. It's also the fact that she was definitely hitting on Puck and he almost went back to like his pool boy days. And I think he stopped himself probably because of Quinn.
He handed himself. He was right.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I think this is like headcanon. I think alcohol issues with Blaine's parents could explain a lot with his character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it could.
For sure, but. Yeah.
But didn't you guys get the vibe just looking at her that she was definitely like,
a real housewife or something?
A real housewife is a good way of putting it. That she really was interested in.
I'm positive that's where they drew from.
It was like the eye makeup that she had was very, it was like that silvery eye makeup that reaches up very tall. And that kind of on TV seems to represent a certain type of person that would do such a thing to Puck.
I'm super not into that because that's not how I imagined Blaine's parents. Like I imagine them both being very upper class in like a like I imagine his mum being more of like a, you know, stern Hillary Clinton type woman, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like
same.
Or possibly a very nurturing soft woman with a really hard father. Like that woman seems like a ditzy lush, basically.
Yeah.
And
that's the way of putting it.
Surprised about that.
She has all like the love of drama that Blaine and Cooper both share. Like she very much seemed like in all her background moments, Blaine and Cooper.
Cooper's mother. Like that's the thing. I can see her as Cooper's mother big time, but I don't know. It was weird to me. And obviously the whole,
I think that,
it was so weird.
But why was she there?
No, speaking of
Kurt and Blaine were going to get married, and they needed, like, a Deus Ex.
But she didn't know that.
That's what I mean. They needed, like, some stupid reason. I don't know. Oh, no, I've got it. I know. Maybe Blaine and Santana have known each other since childhood because they were both in Fight Club.
No, that's Park.
Yeah, but I'm just making it up. I don't know. Santana looks like she could have been in a Fight Club.
Yeah, like, it was definitely convenient,
I'll never get over the idea that Puck and Blaine have known each other like a really, really, really long time secretly. It's my favorite headcanon about Glee.
Well, I mean, I think speaking of people that were there for no apparent reason, the biggest elephant in this room, this episode for me, was Sugar.
No, what? I love the bloody hell.
My Trouble Tone girls. Is it because you wanted the Trouble Tones officially to get back together in their full capacity?
Not really. I just thought it was a really good continuity. And if there was any random character to pull back for the wedding, it would be Sugar, like on a friendship level. If you remember in the Alanis and Carole King tribute, somebody said they'll better help out. So
Kitty's reaction faces were my favorite of the whole episode, by the way. I love her so much. She's the like best. But yeah,
the selfie at the start when like Sam had like his foot in her face, that was funny. Like at the start of the wedding, I was panning over. That was a nice scene.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Randomly back in the choir room, Artie and Tina make a pact that they will get married when they're 30 if they're still single. And I remember being in my young 20s, like making cute little pacts like this with girls. But then I remembered that I'm gay and I don't really I don't really remember why on earth Artie would ever be doing something like this. But I think it goes back to what Caitlin said. I thought it was cute. Oh. It goes back to Caitlin's theory that maybe, like, you know, they're sort of the lonely ones that didn't get married, you know, this episode.
Well, I think that Artie clearly still has a thing for Tina because he definitely, was like, yeah. He was all like,
he was very when shady, she was, like, yeah.
When he was, you know, when they were being like, you know, when Tina was being like, I want to propose and Artie's just like, oh, hell no, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I think that he still has a thing for Tina, but I didn't like his blatant, like the way that they handled their, you know, conversation about their breakup. Because, yeah, like, I understand that's a thing that happens in real life. Like, people, you know, long ago, they don't remember the issues that happened.
Yeah. But
basically,
they got Tina it wrong, though.
You cut it?
They got the whole thing wrong because Artie said that they broke up because... Well, Tina said they broke up because Artie didn't like that she faked the stutter. That's not true because that happened halfway through season one. They got back together. They broke up at the start of season two because Artie was ignoring her over the break. Bam.
And playing video games.
And Jack is continuing to prove his worth of on the show by constantly knowing any single random piece of Glee trivia you could possibly know. So good job, Jack.
I feel like you're the Ken Jennings of Glee, Jack, for actually. Real.
Sorry, Jack, what were you saying? And then Mitch?
I'll admit this. I got called out last episode by somebody on Twitter because we had the trivia at the end, and I said that Will was going to play Frankenfurter, but he wasn't. He was going to play Rocky. So I got it wrong. I'll admit that.
Thanks for admitting that, Mitch. What were you saying?
I was just going to say that Jack is definitely the Ken Jennings of Glee. Because Ken Jennings knows everything about everything, but Jack just has that specific...
I know who that is.
Yeah,
Ken Jennings was the guy on Jeopardy who won like 50 episodes in a row or something like that. Okay, lastly here, Sue gives Clayne and Brittana honeymoon resort gifts. Clayne got Provincetown, but Brittana
got...
For a weekend.
And Brittana got Bahamas for a month. Like, and Kurt's face is so pissed.
It's really weird. Like, other than the obvious, like, comedic moment there with their reactions, I was, struggling to figure out, like, what is the point of that? Like, I was like, is there something here that I'm missing, or was it just... Sue being rude to them and not to Brittana.
Because they want Kurt and Blaine to film while they don't have as much story need for Santana and Bernie.
That's what it is. It's like they're off on their month-long honeymoon, but Kurt and Blaine need to be on screen for the last few episodes.
Very smart of you guys. And that's pretty much it for this episode. That's basically how it ends. They kind of walk out of the auditorium after that. Go ahead, Jack. Last word for you. Yep.
Yeah, this episode had a lot of... It was really funny. Like, there was so many good one-liners. I just want to say, Leah, when she's not, like, a main focus of the plot, has amazing background comedy.
Good. She's such a good...
Lizard?
She's such a good character, like, comedy actress, like, when she's not, like, the drama focus. Like,
yeah,
good. She's so much better than when the focus is actually on her, which sounds really bad. I don't know if she, like, overacts or if it's just the main writing for Rachel's character as opposed to the background stuff.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, I feel like it's a lot just, like, ad-libs. Like, you know, she's more free to just say what she wants to say.
I reckon she could do that kind of full-on farcical comedy really, really easily.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to some Glee news. For those of you who don't know, which if you're listening to a Glee podcast, you probably do, that starting on April 29th at the Belasco Theater, Darren Criss will be returning to the Broadway stage for a limited 12-week run. The actor will be taking on the role of Hedwig in the renowned rock musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Criss steps in for John Cameron Mitchell, off-Broadway star and the show's original book writer. This is like a pretty big deal because Hedwig and the Angry Inch is such an amazing and almost iconic show. I remember watching the movie in my queer studies class in college, and I haven't been able
to... That was a unit?
Oh, yeah. I totally had a queer studies classes.
That's quite common in the USA. There's lots of, like, you know, gender studies, like women's studies, queer studies, like those kind of things.
I didn't know that was queer studies, though. That's interesting.
Actually, yeah. I think it was called human sexuality to make it even more enticing. But, yeah, I did a whole bunch of papers, like, on Yitzhak and the character and how it's, like, it was really interesting.
Yitzhak, Lena Hall, who played... I saw this show with... Neil Patrick Harris when I was in New York last year. Like he originated it in this run, and he got the Tony for the best actor, and then a couple of people replaced him. Yeah, like Andrew Rannells replaced him for a while, and then Michael C. Hall, who was Dexter, he replaced him for a while. And then John Cameron Mitchell, who, as I said, he wrote the book and he wrote the movie. He played Hedwig in the movie
And he's so good in the movie. I haven't seen him in the
I know. And then Yitzhak is Hedwig's husband, who's a trans woman, like I think he might meant to be a cisgender woman in reality, but it's always played by a woman in the show. Exactly. Like it's a woman playing a man. And Lena Hall, who played in the musical, was so good. And I don't know if she'll still be doing it with Darren or if they've recast that, but she was so cute and adorable and so lovely.
Natalie, I think you and I can give some really great feedback here, as we both saw Darren Criss in How to Succeed in Business. And thank you to you and Mitch, who are on the show, for participating in getting me my ticket. which we've mentioned.
Good times.
Good times, which we've mentioned previously, recently on the show. I'm definitely going to go see this now. I had been wanting to see Hedwig because a lot of my friends had been going to see it when Michael C. Hall took over, and they couldn't believe how great he was. And then they were like, by the way, Michael C. Hall's leaving. And I'm like, wait, what? That happened too quickly. So now that Darren's going to be in it, I'm so excited. If you haven't seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch, you can buy the movie or rent it or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the movie, I would say, is just as stands up. Just
the movie
as well
is a good, good option, but it's more storytelling. It's more like acting through her life. Basically, it's this story of this boy who becomes a transgender girl, not really through gender identity, but through, like, getting a sex change in order to get a visa to America. It's this whole thing. But anyway, the movie actually tells the story, whereas the musical is her giving a concert and sort of doing a comedy show slash concert explaining her life story as opposed to acting out the scenes. Yeah, it's actually that's one of the reasons why I think Darren's going to be really good in the role in the musical is because he knows how to be a front man of a band. It's a fourth wall breaking show. Like it's going to be him actually talking to the audience, not performing something like they're not there, but actually interacting with them. And it's like a fake concert of, you know, him telling the story of his life, of Hedwig. And so I think that's going to be really good.
So Natalie, I have to ask.
Oh, sorry, go on. Yeah.
No, sorry, I have to ask, will you be coming to the US to see it?
Was really excited when I saw the dates because, I mean, like I would definitely want to, but I saw it and I'd actually planned to already, like we've applied to do San Diego Comic Con, which is going to be happening in July as well. And so I'd probably be able to see like either the week before Comic Con or the week after Comic Con. Like I was already planning to be in the States at that time. So I was so relieved that I was like, oh my God, I won't have to spend money. I probably would have liked to organize a trip if in any way possible, but it was definitely something I was already budgeting for. So I'm really excited that the timing works up and it's not like a couple of weeks off that would have made me miss it or something like that. Yeah.
Well, make sure I would love to go with you again. Maybe this can be a thing in our lives where we just go see Darren Criss together.
I definitely will. If I do go to New York, I'll probably see it like, you know, two times or something.
And Caitlin, you could maybe take a plane and Mitch, everyone just meet up all together and make it a big Glee Chat reunion. We might need one by July anyway.
Oh, that'd be really cute.
That would be cute. Jack, I'm not leaving you out. I just assume you wouldn't be flying from Australia.
It's okay.
I think it's going to be a really good show. I think that style of music is actually like he was very good in How to Succeed, but I think that this style of music is going to be like even more better for his natural singing voice.
I
think that it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, the music is so good. By the way, Natalie, don't book your tickets for the show. Well, let me know whenever you do because I just
No idea what's going to happen yet, but I will tell
you. Let me know because I actually found this is completely off topic, but I found a way to get cheap tickets through my work to like basically any Broadway show. So
wow, okay, yeah, I'll certainly let you know the dates that would be, you know, working. I have no idea yet though, so
no worries. Okay, so moving on from that, we'll definitely be checking out Darren. If any, we'll definitely maybe that'll be another episode of Glee Chat. We can come back and talk about it in July or so. Okay, moving on. Speaking of Glee weirdness, Caitlin, do you want to take us through some of the random things that are happening with the episode orders of Glee's last four episodes? I mean, I'm confused by this. I was sort of grasping it when, Natalie, you had mentioned it in our group, and then apparently some more things changed. Can you take my hand and walk me through it, Caitlin?
I can try.
Caitlin knows the best at this point.
That's exactly why I asked. Yeah. I was like, I think Caitlin would probably know the best of what's happening.
Okay, so we have a wedding with 608. So yes, we have 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Got it.
12 and 13 will be airing in a two-hour finale.
Finale, yes.
So it was a little confusing as to what was going to air in those slots, though. So they filmed for like production 609 is an episode called 2009.
That's the thing. It was meant to be the next episode, right? Yeah. This is where I'm getting. So originally it was meant to be in the middle of the season. Very confusing. Right. Yeah.
It was filmed as 609.
Got it.
It's 2009. It's a flashback of like why everyone joined the Glee Club or something like that.
So 2009 is the episode title.
Yes. Got that it. Is the episode title.
And the
title
year that season one right started.
Got it.
Right. Okay. So this is like looking back, like pre-Glee Club.
Got it.
Whatever they want to do with that. So that's 2009. But they have shifted how things are going to air. So now that is set to air as the 12th episode, which will be the first part of the two-part finale. And then okay.
So the second part of the finale is what is originally meant to be 613, and it's titled What Dreams May Come, and that is a flash forward 5 years. So what is set in order is now 2009 is the first part, so they'll do a flashback episode and then a flash forward episode as the two-part finale.
And now is that set in stone because is that set in stone because they've changed it? They initially were going to have the way it is now, but then they changed it so 2009 was airing as the proper, like the second part.
Yeah, and
part.
I saw it
but now,
the
but
way
now
around, the flash
stone
forward.
This
first,
was
the
most
the
recent.
Yeah.
This was the most recent change that happened like yesterday. So
they're playing it thin, they better get their shit sorted soon.
Yeah. So it's been shifting around a lot, but this is the most recent change in episode orders.
Well, you know, isn't this not the first time he's done this? I thought they moved to, like, a Christmas episode or something really silly, and they had to just, like, pretend plots didn't happen. Like, they would mention something.
In season one, Mitch, in season one, there were a couple of episodes that got aired the wrong way around. Like, the production episode number didn't match the order episode, and it made the plot not really make sense. I think it was like Funk and like something to do with when Jesse and Rachel broke up the first time, and it made it look super like
growing
nonsensical. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't we go over that when we're doing flashbacks? I think that's when we first noted that, isn't it?
Cause, yeah, I don't even
like,
know.
If I was to watch this for say, I know Natalie and Jack, Netflix is not yet a thing in Australia. But if I was to watch this on Netflix, per se, or IMDb, would have these episodes listed incorrectly, quote-unquote, with Funk being before the episode that Rachel breaks up with Jesse. You know what I mean? Like, is that still Forevermore, or did they fix that after?
Yeah, no, the way
on the DVD.
Or the DVD.
Oh, sorry.
On the DVD, Funk is the second last episode.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode is just the final.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was aired, like, the right way or the wrong way.
I think they kept it the way it aired. I know with a few shows they've changed it. Like, I think Firefly had a mistake of its original airing order, and on the DVD they changed it back to what they actually wanted. But I think Glee just didn't care. So
yeah. I mean, I'm wondering from a TV perspective, as somebody who works, I've seen how these things work in actual television programming working at Oxygen. And I'm just wondering what exactly the reasoning could be, because if they're not sort of in order with, in line with the actual canon of the show, right? Because it sounds like the last episode of the current timeline will be the third to last episode.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so I wonder what the switch off at the end would mean for the show as a whole and what the importance would be, because, I mean, that's kind of a big deal, but I don't
I'd
know.
I'd kind of rather more episodes dealing in the current timeline, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, me too, to be honest.
Well, can I just say, this is, if you guys don't mind, if we have a little bit of a spoiler, just about some of the cast that's come back for the final group number.
I think that we can, since they're tweeting about it, yeah.
Well, Jack, also, I'll just say to anyone listening, fast forward a minute in case you don't want to hear the spoiler. It's what I'll continue to do if we have anything we really want to talk about before our post-credits spoilers, which I'm not sure. Are we doing that this time around, guys?
Well, I don't know if there's anything.
Okay, so yeah. Jack, go ahead. Everyone skip forward a minute here if you don't want to hear what Jack has to say.
A bit more.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying I'm very happy that they have decided to air have 2009 as part one, and then when Dreams Come True or something is the last episode, because the final group number they're doing, they have brought back pretty much any single member of New Directions that has had some significant. I'm talking Lauren Zeiss, you've got all the new kids, you've got Sugar, you've got Joe, you're everyone. Like, they brought everyone back.
Damien,
right?
Though,
obviously.
Anyways.
Well, I mean,
is that the flashback? Do we know what?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
That happens? Like, if that happens
thinking that is the 613. I don't think that's 2009.
No.
I'm thinking. And that's what I mean. I'm hoping that it is in the finale, because, I mean, that's what I've been coming on this podcast for the past month saying. I want any single character who's had any influence to come back for the last episode. And they've done it, so I'm really happy.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I hope that is in the last episode, and I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be the flash forward, right? Because it has a lot of the...
Production-wise, you'd think so.
Yeah, the new kids and, Jake and Ryder and those folks, you know.
Yeah, I saw all of those guys.
But this is what's really confusing, because... Right. It's really confusing because last time I heard, when they had made 2009 the finale, apparently initially Blaine and Sam were not written in that episode, but because they made it the finale, they went back and did rewrites and reshooting, but now that's not the case.
In
so I don't know.
2009, you mean?
2009, like... yeah.
Hmm.
Why would they not be written in that episode?
That's what I was wondering.
Because they weren't at McKinley at that time.
Well, they're really secretive about this episode. They usually spoil everything, but like this one, they've really kept it under wraps, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, like, about the sort of order of the episode and how, like, what the TV executive decisions are, like how it affects the show. I don't know.
Well, John, anyway, you said before,
and by the way,
that
Matt Rutherford is back, just saying, and I'm freaking out about it.
Yeah, we know.
We know. I mean, you want Kendra too, and you get your wish, but John,
I forget. I thought I saw Kendra in there, but she wasn't.
I saw Terry, but I don't know, yeah.
Well, because I saw Emma in there, and I thought Emma for a sec was Kendra, and I had a little mini
You would have died. John, you were wondering, from a production value, I suppose, when it would matter that an episode airs and the like. But I feel like that still goes back to what you said when Glee Season 6 started airing, John, that you were like, they really don't care how the numbers are for the show. They don't care how much money it produces because they don't have to, look forward to anything new media from it. This is the final thing. So, I don't know. Yeah. They could pretty much blow it in the ratings and not have any iTunes sales, and still be fine, because what's to reprimand if you already filmed those episodes? It's more profitable to air.
And I don't give a shit about ratings. I just want a good show to watch. I don't give a shit about ratings.
Yeah, I don't mean the sort of like business standpoint. I mean literally the creative of the show. Like, what is the trajectory? Like, what is the difference of them airing in those ways?
No, I think it's. I mean, if I had to think of it as anything else, I'd think of it as the epilogue from Harry Potter. Like, that needs to be at the end.
Yeah,
because like, would you put the epilogue anywhere else for Harry Potter? Like, imagine if that just happened to be in the middle of like Deathly Hallows.
Well, let's just hope that they don't have like stupid kid names like the epilogue of Harry Potter did.
Albus Severus. Want to name their child
Alfredo?
Alfredo.
That's a good point.
Oh no! I don't know.
Who do you think is going to have a baby by that point if they do go flash forward 5 years and it's like, as I was saying earlier, I freaked out the others because I said a theory. I said that they were going to end it like Smash, and they were all like, oh my God, no spoilers. And I'm like, no, I just made it up.
Yeah. End it like Smash. I didn't see this comment. What did you say?
Don't worry, Midge. Don't even worry about it. but I did see filming pictures of Blaine and Kurt, and I actually was sort of alerted to there being pictures by Darren Criss posting on Instagram, like, he took a video of the paparazzi taking photos of them and posted it, and I was just like, okay. And then I saw the video, saw the pictures, and it's like, they look ridiculous, like this, like, adult man about town, Blaine and Kurt, at, like, however old they're meant to be, like, 26. And they look so weird, and it's so strange, and they're doing such a bad job of hiding their wedding rings. Can I just say, like there was most of the shots, they both had their hand in their pocket, because this episode hadn't aired, so they didn't want to, like, spoil right. the wedding, but oh my god, there's so many shots where you can see it, and it's so stupid. But they look ridiculous. Blaine's toned down the hair gel a bit, which is appreciated, but he looks like a dick, and Kurt has a white, thin turtleneck, and it's just, like, terrible. Oh, no. So,
Are they going to do aging makeup? Like,
pardon? No. Because it's just closer to their real actual right. ages now. They look more mature. They definitely, they're holding themselves. They look older.
I just hope that it's not like the, well, actually the Harry Potter final was, the final moments of the Harry Potter series were like this. But does anybody remember the Will and Grace series finale?
Yep.
Oh my god. Yep. And they have like 100%. The worst makeup ever. And I'm like, don't do this. They flash forward.
Yes,
like,
I know, but. Yeah, but Queen was playing at the end of it.
So then you must love it, yeah.
Yeah, no, if they do a Queen number in the end, I guess that will be happy no matter what, right? By that logic.
Yeah.
The point... any theories about what that big group number is going to be? Like what song it's going to be?
No, really? I heard... Wait, is that true, Caitlin, or that was just you guessing?
I mean, that would be my assumption, plus they're all wearing
red. I don't know theory of the whole thing, but I heard that that last song is going to be One by U2, and they did that in season one, and that is my third favorite song of all time. So if they all come back and sing this song, I don't think you guys will hear from me for about a month.
I love that song, but that would be really random.
It would be very random.
I think it has a lot of significance, and obviously Finn is going to have a huge presence, and he was a very big... That song, I think, is a very... Like, it says a lot about his character, I think. And if they did that as the last song, it would really mean a lot to me, like, personally. So that would just, I'd love it. But I think it'd be a good choice. Like, what other big Glee anthem are they going to do? Like, Push It?
Yeah, I hope it's Push It. I hope it's Run, Jesse, Run.
It's probably
Run, Joey, Run,
Teenage Dream, just to make sure we have 500 versions of
I'm hoping right now it's just La Isla Bonita at the end. That's it. Like, cut.
Oh my god.
La Isla Bonita.
Sexy and I Know It.
Sexy and I Know It would be another good one. Or Blurred Line. Like, Blurred Line, everyone, here we go.
No, seriously, serious thing, you guys, we didn't talk about one aspect that I was actually thinking about, which is, did anyone have any thoughts/feelings about, like, Rachel's, like, nervousness about Carol seeing her dating Sam? Mm.
I loved that was addressed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that it hadn't come up in any capacity yet, like, similar to how Blaine's mom and Carol hadn't met. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm glad that they filled that in. You know, to Glee's credit, they did sort of cover a lot of those little moments in this episode. Mm. So... Yeah, to me, I'm just sort of like, and it's weird because Rachel's the lead, but it's almost like that particular relationship has sort of taken a back seat to Clayne and even Brittana in the last few episodes.
Yeah.
But
well, as I said, I don't think that they're going to be rushing off into the sunset.
No, Sam, I agree. Rachel.
But I also think, given that Kurt and Blaine's outfits in the pictures, the filming pictures I saw from 5 years from now, it does not look like that they... It does not look like that they are caring for a baby, because they are wearing clothes that I think Kurt would never let a baby near in 5 million years. Also, I think Kurt would be literally the worst parent of all time. So,
yeah.
But I'm curious to see if anyone will have a baby, like maybe Quinn and Puck. Like,
don't get me started.
Feels like they definitely would have one, just to live that all-American lifestyle that they seem to really be living up.
I want to see Beth, because at that point, Beth would be like 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
That is weird. Okay, well, let's move on a little bit. We'll get into more of that stuff as the details emerge over the next few weeks. And look for the cast accounts, because they've been tweeting a lot of stuff from the set recently. it's like not a lot of it's sort of explained, but there's a lot of interesting, especially Kevin McHale. I was like going through his Instagram yesterday.
Today was the last day of filming.
Yes, so. That's what I was just going to say.
On Glee forever.
Glee wrapped forever.
It's a very emotional day.
Very emotional. Yeah. Well,
I've been thinking about this, what it would be like for so long. Can I just say, like, yeah. I remember thinking during the first season, oh my God, what is this going to be like when this show ends? Like, it just the amount that I was feeling about it at the time. It's so weird. Anyway, carry on.
Let's save the sentimental stuff for the last episode of Glee chat. All right, let's go into some episode feedback. Jack, do you want to take this over? Because it's sort of separated into a couple different categories here.
Yep, cool. Natalie, we've got one about your article, but I'll do that at the very end because I think you had some comments.
It's
some comments
not like crazy
about,
hate, is it? Like,
no, I'm just saying I think you might need to, or not if,
there
if you
some
want
weird
to sort of defend
on
yourself.
Post,
yeah.
No, that's fine. Like, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is just episode feedback. Isaac says, I'm kind of bothered by the fact that Quinn's absence wasn't even addressed. I understand that it's probably because of scheduling conflicts, etc., but she would have been the single most important guest out of all the friends present. It was kind of disappointing.
That's
we agree with you, Isaac.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said earlier. That's interesting. Maybe I'm Isaac.
Like she's the other corner of the triangle of them. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Jake said something I like. He says, I love this episode, and that's all that matters to me. It was just a happy time, I guess. I've noticed that... I was just going to mention really quickly that one of my friends that's sort of a casual Glee fan, like, he's been watching since the first episode, but doesn't, like, freak out and have podcasts about it like we do. He asked me what I thought about it, and I was like, blah, didn't really love it, blah, blah, blah. He was like, oh, I liked it. It just seemed really fun and happy. And I forget that, like, some people do watch the show just casually, and it did...
To be happy.
To be happy, yeah.
And maybe to them, novel.
Yeah, maybe to them it was a fun time, but for the rest of us, it was terrible. I'm just kidding. But anyway.
Well, I think you just look back at an episode. Like me, I looked back at the episode and I thought, I laughed at the majority of that. It was good. Like,
But
it's
I say
clean,
that, and I kind of like the Hurt Locker, and you guys hated it. So who am I to say?
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, John. Oh, John. We have many things to teach you if you think the Hurt Locker is still a good thing.
All right, next up.
Sophia Malik says, Blaine, quote, randomly finds Tina proposing to Mike romantic, even though they aren't even together, because he also proposed to Kurt when they weren't even together. On a random note, I thought Jane looked amazing, and everyone looked amazing in this episode. So.
Yeah, they did. That's a good point. Everyone
I'm really liking the variety that they have with Jane's hair, because at first I thought she was going to have that one signature poofy hairstyle, but they've done a lot of cool stuff with, you know, as much as she's been in the background, with giving her, like, really unique hairstyles, and they're always noticeable and very chic and cool. And I can't really notice that any other character's hairstyles as much as hers. Probably because of her first hairstyle that you see her in is so, like, big and brass, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think she looks good in a lot of different types of hairstyles, which is pretty rare for her face shape. I wonder how you would define it. Is she an oval or is she a circle? But that's just all I'm thinking about with Jane, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really think about Jane Lynch's face shape, but that's fine.
Jane Lynch? No, I'm talking about...
No, I think they mean Jane, the character.
Oh, Jane, the character. I'm sorry. I was thinking Jane Lynch.
No.
Fair enough. This one's pretty funny. This is from Rat Mama, whoever that might be. Puck dancing.
Rat Mama's here.
Puck dancing with Blaine's mom had me dying. Why she was there and had a number planned with the other moms, I have no idea.
When she was dancing during the number and Blaine, like, had his face in his hand, I was like, that is so cute.
That is really cute. I feel like I've been in that position before with my mom dancing somewhere, but anyways.
I imagine Rat Mama being Queen Latifah's character in Chicago. When you're good to Mama, Rat Mama gives to you.
Mitch, your imagination is the best.
Oh, thanks. I try.
Okay, ahead, so Jack. Peggy Roo says, yep, on Twitter, neck brace cheerio is at the wedding, lol. And I did not see her, and I watched it again, and I still didn't see her.
I did. I was going to bring it up, but then I saw this feedback in there. I totally saw her in the sitting in the crowd, and I was just like, neck brace cheerio. Oh,
so, like, God. She has a neck brace on right now, right?
Yeah, she had a neck brace on.
Poor girl. What did Sue do to this poor woman that she would have been in a neck brace for, like, 3 years?
But it's just another example of, like, a prominent cheerio that was at the wedding, but Quinn was nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just forget about that.
I like Natalie's theory that we should just kind of assume Quinn was there and we didn't get to see her, and that's simply like a Diana thing, not a Quinn thing.
Every time someone had a camera out, like, you know, like...
yeah.
Like Britney's dad.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Jack, I guess I'll take this one. This one is about you, actually. This is from...
Yeah, no, I had to put it in because I have some words to say.
Okay. This is from Kay Wright on Twitter, I guess. She said, this person says, the only thing better than hearing Jack Farr talk about Glee on Glee Chat is Jack talking about Parks and Rec on Glee Chat.
Yes, and Parks and Rec is ending next week. It's very... I'm here. Yeah.
I'm with you, Jack. I'm actually maybe a little
it's
more
it's my upset. Favorite show of all time, and it's just, yeah.
I'm a little more upset about Parks ending than Glee, to be honest, at this point.
Yeah. Oh, Glee's had more of an influence on my life than Parks and Rec. Yeah, as a TV show, Parks and Rec is the, is the bomb. And also, just quick, Harris Whittles, who's one of the exec producers of Parks and Rec, actually passed away a few days ago, so I just want to... rest in peace.
That's so tragic and sad. And like Amy Poehler is doing a whole bunch, and the whole cast actually is doing a bunch of press leading into the finale. So you know that they're going to have to talk about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really terrible timing.
Very tragic.
Just bad in general.
So that was
interesting. Sorry to bring that down.
No. That's totally normal. And I love any Parks and Rec reference we can fit into Glee Chat is always good. Natalie, you wrote a piece this week. We talked about it a little bit in the episode about thinking that Clayne is dead. Do you want to tell us the gist of what you were saying? And then,
there's one more bit, and then that sort of leads into like the article. I'm just going to pull up the photo though, because we had a response on the Hyperbole post about Clayne. So I'm just trying to find the comment. I've just crapped out. Here it is. Okay, so on the Hyperbole post of last week's episode, Sue B said, I don't know who's this in reference to. She says, you just called Kurt a manipulating bitch. What drugs are you on? His ex is dating his former bully. And so I said to that, Kurt is the most manipulative character on this show. Blaine dating Dave has nothing to do with manipulation. It's how he coped with grief, which I think speaks volumes about his character and mental state. It is not manipulative. And so in response to that on the, because we posted that in the Facebook page just to see what everyone else thought.
Yeah.
And not to sort of crap on Sue B here, but that's just like opinion. Cassie Jackson, I think, sums up how everyone felt, because a few people commented, but this is a very well-worded response. She says, I agree with Jack completely. Even when you forget Blaine, Kurt manipulates nearly every character on the show. If he's not destroying Blaine's mental well-being, he's too busy making himself out to be the victim in every situation that he's placed in. I may be wrong when I say this. Unfortunately, I don't have Jack's super memory, so please correct me if I'm wrong. But I can't remember a single time that Kurt has honestly and full-heartedly apologized and admitted that he's fucked up.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
Every time he's apologized for something is because he thinks it's the only way to get what he wants and says it. Not because he means it, but because it's how the situation can end the way he wants. So I think that sums up
how really everyone sort of
felt. I think that's true. And I feel like Caitlin was talking about that last week, that like every time Blaine makes a mistake, he's made to really suffer for it. Whereas every time Kurt makes a mistake, it gets brushed away. Blaine has to do like crazy penance every time he makes a mistake. And it's not like one is better than the other. It's not like one is innocent in the situation, one is terrible. It's just that Kurt doesn't ever have, it's like the show doesn't realize that Kurt's making mistakes, or it doesn't write him like he's making mistakes, or it doesn't make him suffer for them in the way that it makes Blaine really suffer for
them. I was just going to say, as you're saying that, Natalie, I'm like, I've been to Blaine in a relationship before, as you're telling me this.
Mm. It's not like one party is the good guy and one is the bad guy. It's just one has to make up for it and one apparently doesn't, if you know what I mean.
And hopefully that doesn't happen to everybody, because I can relate to those situations.
And I think I have to take just a little bit of blame here to Sue responding that you just called Kurt a manipulating bitch. Because, Natalie, if I remember, I think you and I were in a really intense conversation about Kurt, and I was down with all things Kurt and burning my bra against him. And and then I ended up writing that in the show notes, and I think this person wrote a comic, I could be wrong, like a comment really quickly after reading it in the show notes. So I think that they just literally took my thought. I'm not sure that represented everyone on Glee Chat necessarily.
I mean, I think it does. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know. I won't represent it until you all agree. I think maybe it might. We all might just think he's a manipulating bitch, but I mean,
I think we all can agree at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Kurt's a manipulating bitch. I meant it.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Well, that sort of leads into sort of why, yeah, like, I wanted to get, yeah, Natalie's opinion, yeah, on the article she wrote, because we had a lot
about that. Yeah.
Oh, not really ask. I mean, I don't know if you saw the comments on the post, but we had a lot of people sort of.
Oh no, thinking I wasn't allowed that, to look like, at the comments on the post. No, no, oh, seriously, what? Marima didn't let me look at the comments. Well, no, I was saying that. Like,
oh, it's okay.
It's not. I don't like writing opinion articles. She held my hand through writing the opinion article, and I was like, I'm not going to look at the comments. And I had, and Karen and Marima had to screen them, like, for me to make sure there wasn't anything I had to, like, be worried about with crazy haters. Fine. No, no, it is. It's fine. I skimmed it, and there's some weird argument about fencing that I don't understand. Like, that was like.
Really? Oh, it was about who struck whose head. Oh, like Kurt attacking Blaine. I don't know. I was trying to get into it too, and I was like, "What? How do you know this much about like that fencing moment?"
Yeah, it was really. This is the kind of crazy meta people have. But look, the article was talking about. I'll just sum it up very quickly for anyone who didn't read it. It was an opinion article about how I think that obviously it's a lot of stuff that we've talked about on the show before. But that I think that the Klain relationship is. Basically, I called it Klain is dead and Glee hasn't noticed, because I think that the Klain relationship is not a good one or one that should be pursued, and here's the reasons why, but the show is still presenting it to us like it's a couple that we're meant to root for, and I don't really understand why. And it was an opinion article. It wasn't like a theory that I thought was really going to happen. Like, you know, I knew that they were getting married. Like, that was why I wrote it at that point. I'm like, I want one last chance to say this before we just have to deal with this freaking shit forever. And we knew that they were getting married. And I was kind of like, what I wish is that they would break up in the last episode. Not through any big drama, but because they've realized that they've done step after step after step, but that they're just not compatible because the way they approach relationships is not really good for each other. And that was the main point of the article. Yeah. And the response was like, some people really agreed. Some people were like, no, Klain is not dead. They are perfect. You are missing the point of they've had all this development this season. You are wrong. And I was like, okay. And there was a lot of people who agree that Klain sucks, but have more of a problem with Blaine's treatment of Kurt than Kurt's treatment of Blaine, which, yeah, surprised me a little bit in terms of like, yeah, the way that people see Kurt. I was like, is this a thing? But I think Caitlin's mentioned something like that before.
Yeah.
Caitlin, what's the deal with the Kurt and Blaine from the Kurt victim perspective? Do you happen to know?
I mean, there is the segment out there that thinks Blaine is an abusive partner to Kurt. And mm-hmm. I don't understand how these
people. Yeah, how the hell do they get to that?
I don't understand it, but I have seen that Blaine is apparently abusive.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. So there's a lot of people agree that Klain sucks, but they did not agree with my point of view. They think that Blaine is ruining Kurt's life and that Kurt is a hero that has been saddled with Blaine. And I was just like, no. Well, at least we all agree that Klain sucks, but okay.
You know, I've noticed that anytime these opinion articles have more than, say, 20 comments, I don't even look at them because I just know it's going
to
be full.
I skimmed it, and then when I got to the bit where people were having this intense argument about fencing, I was just like, I'm leaving.
I think you're
not going to go and, like, no one was really, like, abusive, though. Like, everyone was sort of saying their points well-spoken, which is nice on an article like that.
Oh, there was one or two comments that we had to delete. I want to give a shout-out.
Oh, Natalie, can we talk, Caitlin and John, yes,
about Pound Cake Guy?
Please. Can we?
Okay, I want to give a shout-out to the best.
Yeah, go ahead, Natalie. Is that what you were going to shout out a second ago?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to the best hate comment I've ever seen in my life. Which was that, like, there was some actual other shit that we had to delete. But the first guy was just my favorite thing ever. And he basically, whoever it was, they replied to the article saying, get yourself to a pound cake. This article is embarrassing. And I was just like, okay. This is an insult. And it kind of.
Can you explain, like, what? Well, basically, we had to figure it out in the Hypeable group because we were like,
what does this mean?
What is it? And Natalie's comments were absolutely hysterical because she was like, sort of brought it to all of us in Hypeable and was like, guys, can someone explain this? And then you were like, is this an American thing?
And I'm like, I was just like, I don't really understand what's happening. My theory is what it was meant to make was like, this post is embarrassing. Like, as in, you shouldn't be going on about your feelings. You should go and eat your feelings. This is a fat girl crying problem, if you know what I mean. Like,
the pound cake. Why pound cake?
I don't know. And anyway, there was a lot of pound cake discussion on Hyperball for the rest of
the day. It turned into replace a movie title with pound cake. And Natalie, you came up with the best one. It was Avengers: Age of Pound Cake.
Look, it was so bad, but it was so that was my favorite hate comment. But there was a lot of genuine discussion about Klain and about, you know, what's good, what's bad. Lots of people really freaking passionate about their side of the argument. Overwhelming majority have a problem with Klain, but a lot of the people don't necessarily agree with my problem. They have a problem from the other perspective. There were a few people on there being like, I love Klain, you're wrong, you're missing the point, Klain are forever. And I was like, okay, if you say so.
Sorry
about your life.
Take us through a couple of comments we got, I think, from Facebook, right?
I'm still processing that pound cake comment.
I know.
That's the first time I heard about it. Christine Cronin says, Natalie is dead on. I just love both actors so much and their characters' interactions with... and the characters' interactions with others... Wait, hang on. Have I messed this up?
Not that again.
It's just weird. The way it's written, but you're reading it right.
Sorry. Natalie is dead on. I just love both actors so much and their characters' interactions with others that I've always held out hope that Klain would be written well. Foolish optimism, I know. Last episode's Blaine running after Kurt just killed it for me. I would love for the actors to tell their thoughts once the series is over. And that would be interesting if they're allowed to sort of, you know.
For 5 years, I've been like, I cannot wait. Not like out of like, oh, I hate Glee and I want it to be over. But right from the start, I was just like, I cannot wait for Glee VH1 behind the music. If you know what I mean? Like, I've been so keen for it for so long and it probably won't happen for like another 10 years, but
I remember we talked about that on a Glee Chat episode. I think about around the time Jenna Ushkowitz released her book.
Right.
We were all like, ooh, we can't wait for the real tell-alls to come out once the show.
Oh, please. Chris Colfer is going to drag that show. As soon as he's like legally allowed to, he's going to drag that show. Like, yeah. Really
I feel,
badly.
You know, I wouldn't even want like a VH1 behind the music. Natalie, I want a Joe Jonas tell-all from
that,
you know,
article. That freaking Joe Jonas article is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Can
what
I just
is
say
it?
It's
Can you
so oh, good. Yeah.
Oh, Joe well, Jonas.
We did this on Glee Chat before, Natalie. We talked about it. It was.
Joe Jonas wrote an article a while ago, and I think it was for like Variety or Vice or something that starts with a V. I can't remember. But it was basically a tell-all, like, first-person article that he wrote about, like, the way that the Jonas Brothers' careers were handled and, like, the, you know, virgin rings and, like, all the problematic aspects of his childhood. And it was, like, amazing, and I have so much respect for him now. But anyway, yeah.
So let's get to the other comment really quickly, Jack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry?
Oh, there's another comment, right, from Michael?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Canyon.
Yep. Yeah. Michael, I'd never say your name right. Sorry, Michael. Klain
will
never
be
dead.
I know Michael Vartanian. He's been around for a long time. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, but I still don't know how to say his name. he says, Klain will never be dead, not as long as those who remain are loyal to it. And that probably sums up Klain perfectly.
Is that like a positive thing or a negative thing?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is that a good or
that
bad
sounds
thing?
Like, it's not like Hogwarts. It's not like, you know, Hogwarts, you know, help will always be found at Hogwarts for those who ask for it. Like, does he mean it will never die while the fandom still, like, screams about it? Or is he, like, actually pro-Klain? I mean, either way is fine. But,
well, he is pro-Klain,
I
remember, because he's
pro-Klain.
He is, he wrote a couple comments before, and they're always just like, remember, he, well, now I guess we can, oh, well, I kind of dug myself into a hole with what I'm saying. So I guess I can say he was the one that was the polite Klainer. I didn't want to mention his name a couple episodes ago, but he's
nuts.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing, though, so I guess it's not whatever. But he's a polite Klainer, I should say. He's always been very respectful about it. So I think he's doing this not as long as any who remain loyal to it thing, like tongue-in-cheek, if I had a guess from his personality.
I think it's a statement.
I mean, it's literally true. Whether he's saying, like, Klainers will always believe in Klain, or whether he's making commentary on the show saying, you know, like the show will never kill Klain because of the amount of support it has, if you know what I mean.
Where do Klain fans go after Glee? That's what my question is.
Oh, no. I don't want to know. Dissipate, please.
I was just thinking, as you guys were mentioning, you noticed people's names, you know, like from... Mm-hmm. Over time, doing doing Glee Chat. And I was literally about to be like, Caitlin, please don't take this in the wrong way. But I was like, yeah, there's this one person, Purple H. Wait a minute, that's Caitlin.
Oh, no.
Because I would always see your name, and I'd always love, like, the things you write to us and the things you'd write, you'd say to me. And I almost was like, there's this one girl.
Yeah, Caitlin.
Yeah.
I have, like, I have to tell you, like, because I love your live tweets so much, I actually go back in your Twitter feed once I finish watching the episode just to see what you said specifically.
She has the best live tweets ever.
Oh my god.
If you ever want to, like, love your Twitter feed during an episode of Glee, tune into Caitlin's Twitter, which is absolutely hilarious.
What do you think is going to happen to the Claners after Glee finishes? Do you think they're going to be delusional forever? Or, like, sorry, that's so rude, but, like, no, like, do you think, like, what ship do you think even compares to, like, Klain? Like, do they have they found somewhere else to go? Like, what other ships do Klain people like?
Do they go to Teen Wolf?
They flock to the next.
I don't think they go to Teen Wolf. As far as I can tell, they haven't gone to Teen Wolf.
Isn't Teen Wolf in its last season? I think it is, no? No.
Well, Teen Wolf isn't getting cancelled as far as I know. It's filming season 5, but it's MTV, so it could get cancelled at any point. But at this point, it seems okay.
Oh, really? So MTV does that? Yeah. That would suck. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, would Klain go to a show that's almost done, right? But yeah, it would be a really natural place for it to go to. I could really
maybe
imagine.
They go to Scream Queens in the fall. Caitlin, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I know some have already followed Grant Gustin to The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, too, based on some of the Glee Chat responses. Interesting. Yeah.
Which, quality choice, I will say, as the Flash writer for Hypable.
Did I ever tell you guys about how his brother used to live near in my neighborhood, and, like, no. He would always... Did I mention this?
No.
No?
Oh. So I used to live in West Harlem and in New York and Manhattan. Yeah. And his brother, I don't know how I found his brother, like, don't ask, I have no idea, but I
Grant
randomly...
Grant Gustin's brother.
Yeah, Grant Gustin's brother. Okay, random.
That's very specific.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think maybe he, like, took pictures and posted on Instagram, and I was like, oh, they're somewhere in my neighborhood, that's so weird. So, while I was living there, oh yeah, Mitch, you had been to my apartment when I lived up in West Harlem.
Was it, like, at the Subway that we ate at?
No, but it's funny because... So anyway, I ended up following him because I was like, oh, he's like a weird back connection to Glee and he lives in my neighborhood. I don't know. I'll follow him just for the entertainment value. And then, like, for 2 years that I lived up there, I currently live in Brooklyn now, so I've moved out of that neighborhood. But for 2 years, he would be, like, posting things on Instagram, like, moments away from where I was. And I'm like... Like, it was just this random thing. Like, I remember one time the subway broke down and we all had to get out of the subway and get onto this bus. And he posted a picture or something of him on the bus. And I'm, like, 90% sure I was on that specific bus. And then, like, other...
So weird.
And then, like, other weird things. Because West Harlem is really not that big. It's, like, a pretty... It's just a little normal neighborhood, you know? And it's developing. And he lived... And then, like, he would post pictures of the... There's this place called the Riverside Chapel. It's a very prominent church on the West Side Highway of New York. And he would always post pictures of it. And I'm like, you can see my apartment in the background. Like, are we friends? Like, I feel like we should know each other. Anyway, that's my
that neighborhood must have had a lot of connections to Glee. Because I remember your roommate was like, yeah, I'm friends with Alex Newell on Facebook. And, like,
yeah.
And I, like, chat all the time and stuff. Like, there was just a lot of weird Glee stuff, I think, going on there. It was a
Let's just say that I think he was elaborating a bit on that.
Was he elaborating? Oh, yeah, because it seemed like Alex had a lot of friends on Facebook. And it could have been, like, a mutual friend thing. That
well, and it's funny, Mitch, because you whenever you visited me, Mitch came up to visit for a couple of days.
Like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And I think just moved in, or we were still pretty new in that roommate situation. And so when
I think
you
lived
me,
there for like a total of 9 months, right?
Yeah, a total of 9 months. But when you came, it was like January or something, and I'd only lived there
for
Anyway, long story short, I learned more about him, and let's just say I don't think he was being accurate.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'll say about that in a public
anyway.
So it's like we're playing 50, whatever connections to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Your one for Alex Newell has now been broken, but your one for Grant Gustin has now been upped.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Did you ever meet him in person, like see him on the street, his brother, or anything? Or?
No, that's what I was saying, is like we always had these like
that's so weird.
Pass in the night situation in Harlem, and it's so weird because he would post on Instagram, and like I would look out the window and see what he just posted. It's like
would
it was
he
all
look,
these, like, really weird things.
Well, does he look like enough like Grant that you would notice that?
He does, yeah. He looks pretty similar.
Oh, like that flippy up hair, brown hairdo?
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Similar, but not exactly the same. Anyway, this is like really a long tangent, and we should probably end the show now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. That's it for episode 101. We will be back next week with an all new episode. By the way, isn't it nice that we don't have any breaks with Glee? We can just go right through.
I know. It's so refreshing.
Like, I'm confused.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to like know when it's coming up next. So, yeah. All right. That's it. Everyone say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Let us sneeze.
Yeah, I just sneezed. I'm sorry.
Natalie sneezed. I thought it was
Natalie. Good. I'll have you know that, that right now is the trending after your sneeze. So you're welcome.